Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. And this may be a smaller group than normal, but nonetheless, it is still a blessing to be here, is it not? And to worship together and feel the blessing of being with the brothers and sisters in Christ. We continue to pray for all those that aren't feeling well. Michelle is doing much better. Still quite weak, but the sickness has mostly passed. And I just want to thank everyone. Quite a few of you have blessed us tremendously this past week. Some of you all helped in our home, so that I could continue to get out and make a living. And some of you all brought food and meals and lots of prayers and just many blessings. So I want to express a sincere appreciation for that and thanks here today. You can continue to pray for my mother. She is quite sick. And I believe this is day 8, I think. And we are still very much in the woods there with my mother. So you can pray that she would find healing, God would give her healing from this sickness. This week, for a message I was thinking about this week, is Thanksgiving week. And we've already been hearing about Thanksgiving this morning. And so I was thinking about Thanksgiving, what it means. Unfortunately, we live in a society where Thanksgiving is anything but Thanksgiving. It is rather the opposite. We already heard about gluttony here this morning. Thank you, brother, for speaking on a topic that we don't touch real often. But not just with the not only will there be a spike in inordinate consumption and alcohol and all those kinds of things, DUIs rise and all those kind of statistics. Not only that, but we have this coming weekend, we have the Good Friday shopping and Cyber Monday and all this stuff. I don't know, but it does not at all remind us of Thanksgiving, but rather of greediness, of lust, of fulfilling our passions and desires as stores open and mobs of people almost trample over each other, sometimes do trample over each other, trying to get to what they are so desiring. Not a scene of Thanksgiving. But this morning I would like to remind us not just of what Thanksgiving is, but what Thanksgiving does, the blessing, the benefit of being a thankful people. Thanksgiving is fundamental in Christian living. We grow in faith when we have gratitude in our hearts. And the opposite, being unthankful, destroys our faith in Jesus. And so I want to explore the connection this morning between faith and thankfulness. The title is Abounding in Faith with Thanksgiving. You may turn for a text to Colossians chapter 2. Two verses here where we get this title, Abounding in Faith with Thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. I'd like to consider faith briefly this morning. What is faith? And we're not going to take a lot of time to fill this out, but this is something that we hear taught quite often. And in a nutshell, we could say something along the line of, it's a strong belief, a persuasion, a strong belief with the resulting action. Excuse me. So it's not just what I say I believe, but what I do, what the result of that belief in my life. And we see this in Paul's words here, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, so there's the belief, we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. He's calling them to act upon this belief. Because that's what makes them rooted, us, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. I'd like to read these verses, verses 6 and 7 in the Amplified Bible. And as is typical of the Amplified, there's lots of brackets and parentheses and italics and so on that's filled in to kind of help us understand. As ye have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. Being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. That's faith in Jesus Christ. I looked up thankful in Merriam-Webster, and one of the definitions there, the first definition, I believe, was conscious of benefit received. Conscious of benefit received. We're aware of benefit received, but not only are we aware of benefit, of blessings, we know as a Christian people, we know that we are undeserving. So not only are we aware of benefit, but we are aware that we do not deserve the benefit. There is no blessing or benefit, physical or spiritual, that we deserve, is there? Think about it. What is it that you have been given that you deserve? What is it that we have as a people? What is it that any of us, be it spiritual, salvation, what God has done for us, Jesus Christ, the work of salvation, church, brothers and sisters in Christ, onto the physical things of life, the family, friends, our brothers and sisters, our parents, our siblings, our children, to the very practical things in life, the water, the air we breathe, all the provisions that God has given to us. What is it that we have deserved? None of it. It has all been given to us by our Father of His own merit. It's that awareness that makes us thankful, that causes thanksgiving. So the simple connection between faith and thanksgiving is this. When we have a strong belief, a strong persuasion in God, in Jesus, when we have a faith that calls us to action in our lives, to a walk of life, that faith in God makes us aware of how undeserving we are. And it brings thankfulness. And when we are thankful and we are conscious of benefit received and we are aware that we are not deserving of any of that benefit, then we praise God. And our faith is rooted and built up in Him. And as it says here, our faith abounds. Abounding, that word in the Greek, means to be in excess or to overflow. And so there's an overflowing effect here that happens. Our thankfulness builds our faith, and our faith causes us to be thankful, and our thankfulness builds our faith, and our faith causes us to be thankful, and our thankfulness builds our faith, and our faith causes us to be thankful. And we abound in thankfulness and faith. This is the upward path of thankfulness to God. But this also works in the opposite direction. What, if I was to ask you, what is the first step on the pathway away from God? What would you say? Maybe some of you have a thought. What is the first step? I've given some strong clues, but what is the first step on the path away from God? Any guesses?
Not giving me what I deserve.
God is not giving me what I deserve. Is that what you said?
Life.
Oh, life is not giving me what I deserve. What do we call that? Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is the first step away from God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I'd like to follow this. Brother Mel Bricker already expounded on this passage recently at Bible school. But in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul outlines very clearly a downward spiral, a downward path into total depravity from God. Romans chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what we were just talking about. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So here's the beginning of the path in verse 21. That when they knew God, they were made aware of God. It's not, no one has the excuse that they did not know, because the creation itself is witness enough. It tells us that here in verse 20. That men are without excuse. And when they see God, there's a choice. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That's the first step. Everything after this, even the wording, suggests that it is follows up with this lack of thankfulness. But became, because they weren't thankful, they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Reading on in verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because of unthankfulness. Because of choosing to not glorify God and to feel that the things that life has to offer, I deserve. Professing them to be wise, themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Unthankfulness, close behind unthankfulness, is idolatry. Idolatry. And Paul's speaking here, I believe, specifically of images of idols made to look like something created. But I think we need to look at idolatry in our world today. You know, typically we're not seeing images as such. But God has given us a wonderful world to enjoy. God has given a tremendous wealth of blessings and benefit. And this created world we live in is just bursting with things for us to enjoy that God has given to us that we don't deserve. But you see, the very things that God wants us and desires that we would enjoy and that we would give Him credit for, those very things, we can allow those things to take our hearts and do the exact opposite. That's our choice. God doesn't force us to acknowledge Him, but He's given us these things to enjoy. We heard about it this morning, about food. God's given it to us for strength, and I also believe He has given it to us, in a sense, for pleasure. But when we are unthankful and we do not allow that blessing, that benefit, that enjoyment to give Him honor and glory, and choose to, in our thankfulness, enjoy these blessings within the bounds of holiness and sobriety, that's when it becomes idolatry. That's when it pulls our heart away from God. We can think about this in so many different ways. You know, I'm sure many of you have seen the news or read about, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago now, about the, I forget what it was called, but rapper Travis Scott down there in Houston, Texas, having the that huge concert with thousands and thousands, a huge crowd of people present outdoors. And at the beginning, that crowd, they're so excited, so wound up. This man's a young icon of pop culture, of hip-hop. And that crowd was so excited, so wound up, that they began to just push forward. And all those people, and I believe there are 10 people that have lost their lives from being trampled on. And many more injured, dozens injured. Idols in our society. God, once again, gave us music for His glory, for our enjoyment. But these things, He's given us parameters with which, and it is when we are thankful, and we will read later about singing songs, when we follow His design, when we're thankful, He is glorified rather than having idols as this world does. You know, it comes closer home though. It's not just out there that there are idols. You know, we can use creation, and I think it's wonderful to spend time enjoying the creation. But you know, we can get caught up and outdoor recreation. I enjoy hunting. It's been quite a few years since I've even carried a rifle, but I enjoy it. Last I did it, I enjoyed it. The last time I pulled the trigger, it downed a deer, and I didn't enjoy the gutting procedure, and I hung it up since. It wasn't quite worth it. Happened too many times, I guess. I'm not sure. But I do enjoy it, and just this year I was thinking, well maybe it's time for me to try it again and just spend a little time in the woods. But these things that we can enjoy so quickly can become idols and take our hearts. And once again, are we thankful? Are we truly thankful for what God has given to us? Or do we think we deserve it? That's what we have to look for. If I'm entitled, I get concerned. I get concerned when we talk about laws that want to infringe. And believe me, I'm concerned about heavy-handed government. I am. But when we have laws that infringe upon our supposed rights, you know, that might infringe upon our hunting or whatever it might be, whatever pleasures we like to pursue, I get concerned about that because we don't deserve any of this. And if that gets us all excited, then maybe we are not being thankful. And unthankfulness leads us to idolatry. Verse 24, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, verse 25, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's idolatry. And unthankfulness leads further from idolatry than into sexual immorality. All manner of sexual immorality. I trust this morning that we are thankful for God's beautiful design of marriage, the marriage relationship, for male and female, and how God has made me. Are we thankful? Again, it's when we take the things that God has given to us that He wants us to enjoy, and we set our hearts on them, and we feel that I am entitled to pleasure. And we do not realize that we do not deserve it. That is when we idolize sexuality. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, again, this is just a listing of this downward spiral. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. A lot that could be expounded on here. But all of this, all starting with a simple choice not to recognize God as the one who has given me every good thing. James says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. I'd like to look now at the upward path of thankfulness. You can turn back to Colossians. We were in Colossians chapter 2, is where our text was. Now I would like to jump ahead to Colossians chapter 3. We already read in Colossians about believing, about putting our faith in Jesus Christ and thankfulness. Let's continue to see an upward path of thankfulness here. In Colossians chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If we are thankful, if we see ourselves as undeserving of all this benefit, of all this blessing, it gives us the ability to forbear with each other. It gives us the ability to forgive. Because after all, I don't deserve to be treated better anyway. Verse 15. When we are thankful, And we are aware of blessings that we don't deserve. We can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. There's a peace. There's a surrender that happens in our lives. Thankfulness brings unity into the body of believers, we see. And I think as we'll go along here, we'll see that thankfulness is a key to submission. It's a surrender. Verse 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, it's not in me. I don't have anything. The only reason or the only way I can do good is because of what Jesus has given me. Even those that are unconverted and aren't giving glory to God, the only reason they're able to do something good and benefit another person is because of blessings and benefit that has been given to them that they do not deserve. And when we have this attitude of gratefulness, we can move forward in our lives. We can gain ground on this path. Let's read on at verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. You know, being thankful is a necessary step to being a submissive wife. But it's not just for wives. As I said, thankfulness, I believe, is a key to submission. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, are we thankful? Are we thankful for what God has given to us? Are we thankful for the wife that God has given to us? Or do we feel entitled? Is there something that we feel we deserve that we're not getting? Maybe there's something we're not getting. But do we feel we are entitled or we deserve it? Or are we thankful? Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. A key here is being thankful. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, are we thankful for the home God put us in? Are we thankful? We read in Romans of the unthankful ones. We didn't comment on it, but we read that disobedient to parents was listed in there with haters of God and inventors of evil things and all the horrible lists there. Right tucked in there was disobedient to parents. Are we thankful? Are we thankful for the home that God put us in? Even though it is far from perfect. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Are we thankful for our children? Do we see ourselves as undeserving of what God has given to us? Reading on now, verse 22, Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Employees, employers, are we thankful to God for what we have? Ephesians chapter 5. You can turn there. This will be our last passage. Just like to draw some closing thoughts. In a lot of ways, this is a parallel passage to what we've been reading here in Colossians. Paul talks about a lot of the same things, and we won't read it all. But Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It fits in with what we've been learning today. Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Notice how submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God is part of the same sentence as speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and also giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father. Again, I see thankfulness and realizing how undeserving we are as key to submission. That'll make it so much easier. In fact, I don't know that submission is possible without gratitude, without thankfulness. When should we give thanks? Verse 20 is the reason we turn to this passage for these closing thoughts. When should we be giving thanks? Giving thanks always. Always. When is that? Well, it's easy when things are going well, right? But what about the difficult times? But see, in the difficult times, if we realize that it could be worse, if we realize that the things we do have, we don't deserve, and we're keenly aware of that, then we can be thankful for those things. When there's sickness and we face these difficult circumstances and many other things. You know, I was just thinking about it this morning, that last Thanksgiving we thought was the bad one. You know, we were restricting group sizes and all those things, and it was a big stir how to do Thanksgiving with COVID. And here we are a whole year later, and it's as prevalent or maybe more than ever. And of course, you know, the government tries to help with these things, and we may or may not agree. But are we thankful? Are we a thankful people? Are we grateful? Do we see that we do not deserve what we have? For what should we give thanks? It says, giving thanks always for all things. For all things. Because we've deserved none of it. And finally, we are to thank God the Father. He is the one. Without God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing. And when we are thankful to God, then we also appreciate others and are thankful to others that He has put into our lives. Let's kneel together and give thanks for all that the blessings God has given to us. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We are grateful for the blessing to be able to come here and worship together. Lord, thank you. We are so undeserving to be able to gather together and worship you, Lord. We are undeserving of salvation, what you have done for us, the work of Jesus Christ, shedding his blood. Lord, we are thankful. When we want to praise you, you alone are worthy of our adoration. Lord, thank you for our gathering here. Thank you also for our families, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our wives, our husbands, our children. Lord, we are so unworthy to be so blessed here in this country where we live. You have given us so much compared to others in other parts of the world. Lord, thank you for the many physical blessings. We've received so much rain this year, and the crops have done well. Lord, we are thankful. We are undeserving of your goodness, your graciousness to us. We offer thanks on the behalf of those that are unthankful for the benefits they have received that they do not give you credit of. Lord, I pray that you would show yourself to this world around us. Lord, may we be a testimony of thankfulness, of giving you praise and glory for all that we have, and that it would speak to those around us, and that they would too recognize God as the source of all benefit, of all blessing. Lord, go with each one. We think of those that are still suffering from sickness today. Lord, I just pray that you would bring health and healing to each one. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.